Welcome to the In the Limelight podcast. I'm your host, Clarissa Burt, and every week I bring you great information from fabulous people that I get to meet all over the world. I interview public figures, influencers, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, millionaires, and moguls that share their know-how, tipping points, pivotal moments, and life lessons. I promise you educative, empowering, and entertaining conversations with entrepreneurs that have a social conscience. Don't forget to find me on social. You can find me pretty much everywhere. Facebook, it's Clarissa Burt Official. Also, sign up for my newsletter at clarissaburt.com. That way you can keep abreast of the In the Limelight media as it's coming out. And you'll be getting my weekly newsletter along with the In the Limelight magazine every quarter. Check out inthelimelightmedia.com. Hey, everybody, it's Clarissa. We are back in the limelight. Yep, yes, we are. Another week of fascinating guests. I'm really thrilled about today's show. But before we do that, I do want to remind you, do not forget that you can go and watch this video over on Roku, Chromecast, Apple TV, Android TV, Amazon Fire, and, of course, over on YouTube and ClarissaBurt.com. You're going to be able to listen to the podcasts on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and Inspired News Radio. Oh, and I don't want to forget Spotify either. So you can listen to the podcasts over there. And don't forget on ClarissaBurt.com, where In the Limelight Media lives. You can look and watch and read the In the Limelight digital magazine. It is intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. And we've got a new drop coming up on October 1st, which will be really exciting. So get on over there to ClarissaBurt.com, magazine, and you're going to be able to read some really cool things. And not only, we've got a whole new technology coming up. I'm going to be the first magazine in the world to have this technology. So I'm really, really happy about that because it's going to change the face of the way advertisers interface with you. So that's really kind of a cool thing. Let's get to the show. I don't know about anybody else over COVID and whatever else and all the other reasons that we've got going on. We're probably sitting around and maybe not working out as much as we should and all the other reasons that we gain weight. But I'd like to bring on Dr. Benjamin Bickman. There he is. And here's the book, everybody. Why We Get Sick. Oh, let me get my fingers up. Dr. Benjamin Bickman right there, PhD. And it is The Hidden Epidemic in the Root of Most Chronic Disease and How to Fight It. So we're going to be talking about that today. And Dr. Bickman, you and I already had a nice little chat. We talked about for a half an hour, I think, before we even got to the show. We've already done an interview, but we could probably just say goodbye right now. But for the people that are watching and listening, I do want to take a deeper dive with you, and that is all things that are making us sick, and you focus a lot on insulin resistance. We hear so much about it. What is it?
Right. Yes. Thank you so much for that introduction and for the opportunity to talk about this. So insulin resistance is really a problem of this essential hormone. So all of us, unless we're a type 1 diabetic, we have insulin flowing through our blood right now all the time. With insulin resistance, which is the single most common health disorder in the world, affecting potentially 90% of all adults in the U.S., insulin resistance is when the hormone insulin isn't quite working the same way that it used to. That's one aspect of it. But the second aspect is equally relevant. It's that insulin levels themselves are too high. They've been just climbing over the years because it has to work harder in order to do its job. And one of insulin's main jobs is to control blood glucose. And so basically with insulin resistance, we have this paradigm, this situation where insulin is elevated, but it's working well enough to keep the glucose in control. But the problem with that paradigm is too often we just look at the glucose when someone's coming in for their annual checkups and the doctor wants to know how healthy we're doing. They only look at the glucose and they'll see the glucose is normal and then just assume the insulin is normal and won't even check it. But the reality is most people are kind of moving around at this level, normal glucose, elevated insulin, and that basically starts driving every chronic disease as I outline in the book.
Is this 90% diet or 100% diet?
Oh, it is almost entirely diet. Yeah, let's say in the 90s here, it is almost entirely a result. This problem has become so widespread almost entirely because of how we eat.
Right. So I love the one I was reading in the jacket of your book. It says, we're sick. Everybody around the world is getting sicker and sicker. It's not just an American thing. And, a lot of these diseases were considered rare, but now they're not, with cancer, heart disease, Alzheimer, type 2 diabetes. And this is affecting millions of people, whether it be hypertension, weight gain, fatty liver, dementia, low testosterone, menstrual irregularities, infertility, and so much more. Is it really that the case that insulin resistance is affecting all of us in all of these ways?
Yeah, isn't it shocking? Indeed, I wouldn't want anyone to just take my word for it. I really devote hundreds of citations in the book to referencing studies that prove this beyond any doubt. Yes, in every one of these instances, insulin resistance is either directly causing the problem or it's exacerbating it, it's accelerating it. Like, for example, one that no one anticipates is the most common form of infertility in women, polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Yeah.
At its core, that is the disease of insulin, because the high levels of insulin actually inhibit the ovary's ability to make estrogens. And so it's blocking estrogen production. And the result of that is that testosterone levels go too high. Estrogen levels are then too low. And now she can't ovulate each month according to the normal menstrual cycle. So even that is at its core a disease of insulin resistance. So one of my hopes with the book is that someone would look in their medicine cabinet and realize, I'm taking a medication for my diabetes, my hypertension, and my infertility. Well, maybe each of these is actually a manifestation of one common problem. I'm just going to go right to that one common problem rather than continuing to address the manifestations of that one problem.
Right. So it's really kind of straight across the board. And you said, there are 9 signs that I'm reading right now that, you probably are insulin resistant. You could just, check right off the list here. Excess belly fat, check. High blood pressure. Family history of heart disease.
Yeah.
Always right up there. High levels of blood triglycerides. Okay. Water retention, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a strong one. In fact, insulin doesn't allow the kidneys to regulate body water and salt as well. So if someone finds that they're very sensitive to salt, they eat salt and their blood pressure goes really high, that also is a sign of insulin resistance.
Well, here's one you would have never guessed, and that's a patch of the darker skin or little bumps of skin, i.e. the skin tags that so many people have.
And yeah, right.
How did I get those and where did that come from?
Yeah. Yeah. So these little skin tags, just so someone knows, it's almost like teeny little stalks of skin, and people will get them around the neck or around the armpits or anywhere where skin can rub together. And at those same spots, it's at those same areas on the body, the person can develop kind of rough, darker patches of skin. And it does feel rough. It's more kind of callousy rough.
Right.
And each of those two disorders are very strong signs of insulin resistance. So in that sense, the skin is kind of a window into the metabolic soul.
Right. So, of course, obviously, you want to take a look to see if you had a family member with insulin resistance or type 2 diabetes.
Oh, yeah. Type 2 diabetes is, at its core, a disease of insulin resistance. In fact, it plays on that paradigm I mentioned at the beginning, where insulin resistance is when insulin is high, but the glucose is normal. Over time, the body becomes so resistant to insulin, even though it's swimming in a sea of insulin, it can't keep that glucose in check. Then the glucose starts to climb,
right,
and now we diagnose it as type 2 diabetes.
Well, okay, here's another one about feeling a tired a couple of hours after you eat, maybe lunch, something like that. You're feeling tired. Why would that be so?
Yeah, right. So it's this idea of postprandial hypoglycemia. So if someone eats their meal, that's just a big sexy term for it.
That's easy for you to say.
Yeah. So essentially, it's that someone has eaten a very starchy, sugary meal. Their glucose levels climb really high. Well, insulin has to match that, because insulin, one of its jobs is to keep glucose in check. If someone is insulin resistant, the insulin is too high and it overshoots that response. So the insulin goes too high, higher than it should. And now the glucose comes down very rapidly and it goes a little lower than where it was before. And so there's this time at about 90 or 120 minutes after this insulin spiking snack or meal, the glucose goes a little low and the person senses this reduction in glucose levels.
Right.
And because they're basically stuck burning glucose all the time, they sense this as a general kind of lack of energy.
Gotcha. And the last one we have here is for, especially for women, is gestational diabetes and polycystic ovarian syndrome, or PCOS. And in men, it's low testosterone.
Yeah. In fact, in men, it gets even worse, where in men, not only does the high insulin compromise testosterone, which is exactly the opposite of what happens in a woman. In a woman, her testosterone levels are too high because she can't convert them into estrogens. It's a little known fact. All estrogens in men and women were once testosterone. And then the gonads convert it from testosterone into estrogen, the ovaries or the testes.
Right.
Now, in the case of men, if he has too much body fat, his fat cells actually start acting like ovaries and start converting testosterone into estrogens.
Wow. And is that maybe, and I'm just going to speak out on a stretch here because, you know, I'm no doctor at all. Is that where maybe we see breasts in men?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Whatever term we want to call it.
Wow,
yeah, no. Yeah, yeah. It's so, yes, that actual disease condition is called gynecomastia, someone developing breast tissue when they shouldn't be, like every single man. And right. Yes, if his estrogen levels are too high, then he will start to put fat tissue on his chest, on his breasts. Right. After all, it is the sex hormones that tell our body where to store fat.
Yeah. And again, I'm no doctor, but I always kind of thought that I just always, and I could be wrong, but if miscarriages are probably due to diet, you know, poor diet. But I could be way off on that. That's in God's hands. Maybe I'm wrong, but I always kind of thought, well, maybe there's some dietary thing going on there that, you know.
There very well could be. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So, so when you started out, how did you go down the path of insulin resistance? When you started your studies, why were you taken down that path?
Yeah. It was a bit of an adventure. My original academic career started focusing on muscle. I was interested in how muscles get bigger and better. But then towards the end of my master's degree, I became interested in fat cells and I totally left muscle cells behind. And then all my dissertation and my postdoctoral work continued to focus on fat cells and what made fat cells get bigger, but not better, just bigger.
Right.
And as fat cells get big, they become insulin resistant and they start spreading that insulin resistance through the body. Okay. So if someone has insulin resistance, it very likely started at their fat cells and then it starts to spread throughout. It goes to the muscles, to the ovaries, to the brain, causing Alzheimer's disease. All these other problems start to follow.
Right. Isn't it kind of really hard when you get to this level and you know this much, isn't it hard to watch people eat? I mean, difficulty sometimes going, no, the guy at the next table should not be eating all of that ice cream.
Oh, my heavens. Yeah, absolutely. Or I'm in the grocery store and I'm looking at someone going out with you know, 32 packs of Coke. And I'm just thinking, oh, friend, God, do yourself a favor. But you know what, Clarissa? This is even more relevant in this age of COVID-19. What we know beyond any doubt, like the best, most reliable data indicate that one of the single most relevant pre-existing condition that will determine whether someone has a mild COVID-19 infection or a very serious COVID-19 infection is their metabolic health, specifically their fat amount. Obesity is the single most relevant pre-existing condition that will determine whether someone has a serious or not serious COVID-19
wow.
response.
Yeah. I think we talked about some of the signs that somebody might be insulin resistant, and you know some of them again were very shocking. Is there a connection between? We just said this, I think, you know, the insulin resistance and COVID, and that is the fat. How does that have anything to do with? Because COVID,
isn't COVID supposed
to be respiratory and attacking the lungs?
I know. Yeah. So I love that you're asking this. So in order for a virus to infect a human or any organism. It's a virus is one teeny little particle. It's a little molecule and it has to get inside a cell. Once it is inside the cell, then it will start replicating itself and it will pass those viral particles to other cells. But the key event is that it must enter a cell. And so one of the ways that COVID-19 enters a cell is through a doorway that is called ACE2, A-C-E-2. And wouldn't you know it, fat cells have about more than almost any other cell in the entire body of these doorways for COVID-19. And so the more fat cells someone has, the more of these almost little homes for COVID-19 to come in and start incubating and spreading. Right. So that is a direct connection between too much fat and too much fat cells and COVID-19 susceptibility. You just have more of these little incubators for the virus to grow.
Right. And so there you go, everybody, start eating healthfully. And that's good for that. And
yes.
I know that you're very, and I love it. Here we are, page 190 of the book. So 198, yeah, 197, you start talking, that I see, you started talking about the diet, the breakfast, for example. Breakfast is always so hard for me because, you know, we've had the conversation already about, you know, what I can eat and what I won't eat. you're a huge proponent of proteins, but the right ones, right? And vegetables, some fruits, and the rest of it kind of is not really to be ingested. I think that's what I understood.
Well, or to be eaten with some prudence. And so I generally outline a few rules. And the first rule is the first one for a reason, and that is control carbohydrates. I'm not saying avoid them at all costs, not at all. It's just focus on the carbohydrates that have the least effect on insulin. And that's typically going to be fruits and vegetables. But remember, we eat them, we don't drink them. And then just be careful with the more starchy carbohydrates like grains. And then, of course, the moment you start adding sugar to that, that's something that you need to be very
careful. You also mentioned the fruits that were tropical. Stay away from like the bananas, the pineapples, mangoes.
Yes. Yep. Those are just the most sugary of all of the fruits, really. And so if someone is interested in fruits, if we look at it through the lens of insulin control, then my encouragement is to focus on berries and citrus fruits, but especially berries. Berries almost across the board are going to be the best option.
Right. Okay. And what if someone imbibes and every once in a while would like to have a cocktail? I'm not a drinker, but what, you know, I know that alcohol in its different forms, you know, I don't know much about it. Certainly wine, I guess, would be off the list, but maybe, I don't know, vodka would, I don't know much about it.
Yeah. So in general, alcohol is going to be okay. You just have to scrutinize how much it's been sweetened because I've never had a drop of alcohol in my entire life, but I know that it's pretty sweetened more often than not.
Right. So we're talking about the diet. Omelets are great. So you're a huge proponent of eggs, right?
I think eggs are perfect.
Eggs are perfect. Fish is good.
You also
are not opposed to meat.
I am not opposed to meat. I know that's a very charged topic these days. And there's very much a very strong sentiment that we should avoid animal products entirely. I do vehemently disagree with that sentiment. Humans, by our very nature, are omnivores. We are meant to eat animal products. And I appreciate the ethical dilemma, or maybe I say ethical responsibility that comes with that. We should be responsible, but that doesn't change the fact that optimal human nutrition does involve animal products, including meat. The nice thing about these animal products is they're a mix of protein and fat, which have little to no effect on insulin when they're eaten. In stark contrast to carbohydrates, which have a significant effect.
And you're okay with almond milk and you know, some cheese, yogurt. You're not against dairy. I know there's that. Also, dairy's very charged as of late, as you know.
It is. Yeah, so, just the problem is it's so often sweetened. So you just make sure when you're eating these things, just get them unsweetened.
Right. I do want to let everybody know, first off, where we can find the book. And I think we said that it was pretty much everywhere, if I remember correctly. So
yep, it is.
Published by Ben Bella, my good friends over there at Ben Bella. I met them a couple of years ago at the book expo in New York City. And we got it on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. You can get it at Target and other online booksellers. That's awesome. Why We Get Sick. There you go, Dr. Benjamin Bickman. Doctor, I can't thank you enough. Let's give everybody some social. How can they get in touch with you should they like to?
Right. Yes. Thanks again for this opportunity. Yeah, I'm fairly active on Instagram and Twitter, and that is Ben Bickman, PhD, just no C in Bickman, B-I-K-M-A-N. And I use those just to share the latest research on human metabolism. It's not sort of personal lifestyle. It's just me wanting everyone to geek out about the science just like I do. And so I share that.
You got a couple of events coming up. So you're going to be at CrossFit Convention. That's an online convention. We've got the Environmental Health Convention coming up. That's also online. And the Primal Health Summit, that's going to be on September 12th. So, well, you're getting around by not getting around.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the COVID has made travel much easier than before.
Getting around, not getting around. Listen, I can't thank you enough for your time and for the book, because I've got it right here in my hands. I can't wait to dive into it and find out how I'm going to be losing 20 pounds in the next month or so. I'm trying. I'll do my best, but you've given me some awesome advice, and I can't thank you enough for that. You stay right there, Doctor. I'm going to say goodbye to our listeners and invite them to come. Don't forget, come listen to us next week. You have been in the limelight, everybody. with Dr. Benjamin Thickman. See you soon.
Thanks for watching this episode of In the Limelight TV, intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. Please consider liking, sharing, and subscribing to my channel and connecting with me on social. You can listen to this interview on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. And you can also go to inthelimelightmedia.com to read our digital magazine.